The From Day One podcast is brought to you by The Bridge and the Made in New York Media Center.
Hi, I'm Nick Bailey, and this is the From Day One podcast. Today we're talking to T.R. Ludwig, self-proclaimed solar enthusiast and CEO and co-founder of Brooklyn Solar Works. Ludwig has been on the solar scene for almost a decade, transforming the market for both residential and commercial solar technology across the Northeast region. Ludwig founded Brooklyn Solar Works in late 2015 with his longtime colleagues and fellow industry pioneers, Galen McKee and Mark Cunningham. The mission of their business is to tailor the solar revolution to the Brooklyn community's unique needs. Based in the Gowanus neighborhood here in Brooklyn, Brooklyn Solar Works specializes in the installation of thoughtfully designed solar canopies, their own invention. These canopies allow for maximum solar power output without taking up valuable roof space. Ludwig sees the solar canopies as a built-in marketing campaign of sorts. Just last month, Ludwig and his team set up a canopy in Times Square as a phone charging station and awareness campaign. At such a crucial time for renewable energy, he's hoping that the canopy's unique look will start more conversations about solar and generate excitement around the neighborhood. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So I heard before you started this company, you were actually living in an RV, powered by solar power, in Brooklyn. And you're somewhat legendary for this. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Not living per se, but working certainly. I think my wife and kid probably would have disowned me if I had tried to do that for much longer. But and I tried, by the way, to get them in there, but didn't fly. So that was just a permutation. My family's big environmentalists. We go camping every year, have since I was born. So the old RV was transitioning out of the family, and my dad was about to sell it, and I said, let me bring it down here to Brooklyn. And I couldn't help but throw some solar panels on there, and it sort of became this mini little mobile office and place to tinker around with solar stuff while I was working at a couple other companies. And it really became this little, little incubator of sorts of ideas that we had about the solar market in New York City. And we got to hang out in Greenpoint and, drink beers on a Friday and play around with drones. And so it was a good time.
That sounds great. You mentioned your family being environmentally minded from the beginning. Tell me a little bit about how you got started thinking about the environment and thinking about the environment as a business.
Yeah. It's really just from the get-go. My mother is a radical environmentalist, just extremely dedicated to making sure that the environment is improved and passed on in good condition for posterity.
Did you guys grow up in the country or in the city?
I grew up in Lexington, Massachusetts, just outside Boston. She's a science teacher, has been for almost 50 years. And, so I grew up playing around in the backyard in a sandbox, and, she could teach me about pretty much everything that existed in the natural world. So it just had been weaved into my life from the very beginning to be an environmentalist. She was also very active. So, she's been arrested in front of the White House protesting the Keystone Pipeline and, helped start Earth Day in our town 30 years ago. So she's always been very vocal about that, and it just totally rubbed off on me. So being like an environmentally minded person was extremely natural. And then my dad is he's a business guy. Got his MBA from Northwestern, just very solid on the business front. And so I didn't plan it this way, but it just so happened that I found the perfect marriage of being environmentally minded and helping to start and run a business. So,
and you studied environmentalism in school, right? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, yeah. That seemed like the most logical thing to do. I just sort of ornately knew a fair amount about environmental science, geology, and at the time that's sort of what seemed the most interesting to me. What I found though is that I really didn't like the hardcore science part of it. It just was too frustrating to me. It requires a ton of patience, and I was much more of like a people person and business guy, and just wanted to be out there helping to make relationships and build stuff. And so I never really did much with environmental studies and geology. I was a surveyor for a little bit of time, but that was about it. And I kind of got sucked into the IT craze, the .com craze, where I kind of missed that boat, but I was really enamored with the idea of startups and trying to get, you know, a business started around something. And at the time it was like, you know, websites and .coms. but when I got my MBA, I kind of knew that I wanted to like either stay in IT or help start a business and potentially do it with something around solar or environmentally minded.
But you didn't start a business right away, right? Your entry into solar started before that, before you started your own business, right?
Actually, my true entry into solar was I did start a business. Kind of insane, but I had been reading about it and trying to plot like exactly where to, you know, stake my claim in the solar industry. I was working at a company called Gartner, which is a large IT research company. And I had the luxury of talking to a number of analysts that actually covered the solar business. And they were all sort of pointing me towards the financing sector within solar because it was emerging. And at the same time, I, you know, conveniently ran into a guy who was starting a solar finance business for residential here out of New York City.
And when was this? What year was it?
That was in 2009. And it was just one of those things where it was very clear that we started a solar leasing business. It was very clear that that was going to be a mechanism in which, you know, solar, particularly residential solar, was going to just take off.
Things were very different back then, right? I mean, I think it's important for people listening, right? The cap and trade looked like it was likely, I think, in 2009, 2010. You know, the cynicism now, I think, that surrounds it wasn't quite as prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seemed exciting, especially before the 2008 crash. But even after, there was some thinking that, you know, environmental startups, solar, electric, transportation, and so on, would be like the next dot-com craze, you know, that it was going to have that kind of flavor.
Yeah. And you know, honestly, it pretty much was. You know, we were a two-man shop trying to start a solar finance business that, you know, bare minimum needs $50 million to get off the ground. And it wasn't that unthinkable that we could get that money to finance, you know, a number of solar systems. Yeah, at the time, it was a depressed financial situation for most people in America. And so this notion of leasing a solar system, instead of you coming up with all the upfront cash, just pay for it over time, was very intriguing to people. And yeah, I think we were on the right track. It's just a bunch of different things didn't come together in that business. But, you know, we very easily could have participated in just this massive growth in residential solar.
As a founder, you know, how did that first business, you know, how did the ending of it sort of differ from what you'd expected?
Gosh, you know, total crash and burn scenario, laying off all your employees, being massively in debt, drastic departure from where I thought it was going. But, you know, I learned a ton. The probably the best thing that ever came out of that was I met my two partners that I have now at Brooklyn Solar Works. You know,
and you were committed to staying in solar, right? And you did.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. The thing that was probably the biggest bummer is we just got caught up in a bunch of legal stuff and, you know, we were just this zombie company. And, yeah, I said, I just don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to participate. I want to help grow solar into what I think it can be. And so I joined a company called Sunrun, which is it's a large national solar company, and ran their Northeast sales and marketing group. And I got the luxury of pulling in my two partners, soon-to-be partners at the time. And so we ran that for a bit of time, and that's really where like this whole genesis of the Solar Canopy and Brooklyn Solar Works, and you know the notion of really focusing on New York City as a market. That's where it was born. I got to roll out and basically bring Sunrun into New York City, which they weren't previous. And that, you know, Sunrun's a very large national company, but they just didn't have any presence here at all. Like zero. And so we were able to, you know, get an entree, hired a sales team, and the one like gigantic advantage that we had was we were able to market in Costco's. So, yeah, it's like it's really like the holy grail for solar marketers. You know, it's a very rabid buying customer in Costco. And so anytime you're in there, if you're kind of the new shiny object, you get a lot of attention. Solar certainly was. And so literally in, you know, a 4-day period here in New York City, I could get 200 people interested in going solar. And, you know, keep in mind, each one of those deals is $20,000 to $30,000, you know, so it's pretty substantial. The thing that happened to us is we were marketing in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Costco. And what happened was we got all of these leads and we were really excited, and all of the leads were flat roof buildings. And there's a really, you know, oddly, there's a very large distinction between a pitched roof, you know, out in New Jersey somewhere or Staten Island, which is very conventional. All installers know how to install on that. And it's sort of just seen as like the bread and butter. Flat roofs are seen as like pretty esoteric. You have to be a true specialist to want to go do flat roofs. And so a lot of bigger companies, Sunrun included, just didn't want to do it. They refused to do flat roofs. And so, you know, we were in this Costco generating all these leads, hundreds of leads, but we couldn't address them in any meaningful way. And we had to tell a lot of people no. And this kept happening. And so me, Mark, and Galen started saying, hey, how could we capture this? You know, this is clearly an opportunity and just no one's addressing it. And so we started investigating the fire codes in New York City. We started looking at like how we could potentially get more solar panels onto a roof, because that's another thing. Because of the fire codes, you wind up just getting really small solar systems usually if you don't raise the system. So we investigated that. We determined that if we raised the system, we were going to be able to get more solar panels on there. We also started thinking that, hey, maybe we could get, create this shade structure, enable the roof, make it so that people could go up there and use their roof, which often they don't here, despite having a $3 million building. So that's really where it like started to happen. And simultaneously, we got connected through a few other friends to a company called Situ Studio, which is actually like right around the corner here. And they're an architecture and design firm, fairly well known. And we shared this idea with them about a solar canopy, and they got to work on coming up with a true concept, you know, true design that was going to make this structure scalable and could literally fit on almost any brownstone or row house in New York City.
And was this all going on when you were still, you'd left your job at Sunrun by this point?
We were not at a Sunrun yet, but we kind of knew that this was going to be the next exciting thing we were going to do. And so we started investigating it. And basically, once they came back with their first iteration of what they thought this was going to look like, we all kind of looked at each other and were like, we got to go do this. You know, there's no way that any larger company is going to put any resources towards developing this idea. We live here. We live in Brooklyn. We want to, you know, we're tired of driving all over the Northeast just to put in solar panels somewhere to drive back into Brooklyn and see no solar. So we just decided that it was time, we should give it a go. And so really it was like February, March of 2015 where we decided to make the break. Galen and I left our positions at Sunrun and really just kind of took a flyer, honestly. I was confident that we could get something to work, but it just, you know, I knew that it really was going to take a lot of hard work and time.
When you're working on something complicated like this, I mean, you're looking at something with a long sales cycle, presumably. You've got manufacturing. There's some capital needs, you know, in order to provide the product for people. Like, what's the first thing that you do? I mean, for example, you know, do you take investment? Do you put your own money in? Do you just try to do you finance with your customers? Mm-hmm. Like how do you start? Like, what's the first day like?
Yeah, I mean, the solar business is good if you can float it up to when you're ready to build your solar system. So basically there's not a ton of cost that you have to incur in order to get to like install the solar system. If you install the solar system and you get a check right afterwards, it can work. So basically we had to float ourselves for really about like 4 or 5 months, which was doable. And we were good at selling, so we could go out and pretty much immediately sell solar systems. And then it was just a matter of getting things permitted and through the system. Cash wise, we didn't really need a ton. We certainly weren't bringing in any during that time. And thank God my wife was able to, stomach yet another startup for a little bit of time. But basically, the cash needs weren't all that huge. We wound up getting like this really distressed, burnt out oil depot space where we basically were like sitting right next to a gigantic fire pit for the first like.
Where was this? This is in Brooklyn?
Yeah, this is in Brooklyn. This is in Williamsburg. There's a massive like storage fire right next to this oil depot.
Oh, sure.
It's all been condemned now. But we were like squatting there, paying hundreds of dollars a month in rent, and eventually we got kicked out. And then we went into the RV. So I had a nice run with the RV before it just got too many parking tickets and got towed.
That's a classic Brooklyn story as well,
right?
Do you think that your decision? So in other words, you didn't start by raising money. You started with sales.
Yeah, we just started with sales. We had a little bit of nest egg that we'd built up just to like help float, living costs, but we didn't raise money. And I think it was smart on our part to not do that initially, just because it was such a wacky idea that like trying to convince somebody that didn't know anything about what we were trying to do. It just would have been beating our head against the wall. And I guess, I had experience trying to raise money at my previous startup, and it just, it can suck the life out of you. And unless you really have a clear view on what you want it for, you dilute yourself immediately. There's no reason to take the money if you don't really have a clear view on what the product is, at least in my view. And we kind of felt like we just didn't want other people poking around in this thing we were starting.
Do you think starting that way is a better way to validate that there's interest, that there's customer interest?
Yeah,
it makes you hungrier.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even now, like we still haven't taken any money, and I like it that way. We have to float the business on our own efforts. We have to generate cash through our own means. And I think that in itself just makes us a more responsible company, validates the actual marketplace. It doesn't let us go do crazy things that don't provide us with any revenue at all. We can try a few things here and there, but we really have to like be pretty responsible about how we're allocating our resources.
Sure. That's of course a big challenge for a new company. Mm-hmm. I've heard said that, in some ways, like all businesses in New York, in New York City, are real estate businesses at some level or another. That if you can't make the real estate work, then the rest of the business can't work.
Yep.
But that's not even for you guys. It's even more the case because you are essentially, part of the real estate business. You're modifying or changing, real estate. And along with it, besides the ridiculous sort of financial dynamics of New York real estate, you're also facing the ridiculous regulatory environment of New York City. How does that affect? In some ways, it seems like your business was founded to have unique expertise in navigating that structure.
Totally.
How does that pan out in a day to day your business?
Yeah, I mean it is the business. We've developed an expertise of being able to get permits for the solar systems here in New York City that normally other solar companies have to go hire an expediter and pay them, $4,000 to $5,000 per installation just to get permits for that.
What are some of the unique challenges of solar in New York City?
The biggest challenge right now is just the fire codes that exist. FDNY is a very powerful organ here in New York City, as it should be. So pretty much everything defers back to the fire department. And our solar canopy structure works with all the fire codes. They like it, but they're still literally down to every single deal. You have to prove to them that you're not you're not going to make this a harder building to put out a fire on. And, you know, that's literally a job by job kind of thing. So it's a challenge. And things are always changing, you know, so, we'll cruise along for a few months, think that we've got it totally nailed. And then either someone leaves or code's being interpreted differently all of a sudden out of nowhere. And, you know, we have to pivot on that. But you know, that's the kind of thing that like a specialist company like Brooklyn Solar Works, we specifically know in New York City, we're kind of built to roll with those punches. Other companies that don't have that expertise or just aren't prepared to deal with that kind of, you know, crazy back and forth. They usually either get out or they wind up just outsourcing it to somebody else to go like bang their head against the wall with the DOB and fire department.
Sure. What are, and for those customers that are interested, I mean, tell me a little bit about the value proposition. Like why would they be interested in solar in the first place? Especially in the city. I mean, aren't New York roofs small compared to the amount of living space below them? Isn't New York relatively cloudy compared to, say, Arizona? Like, how does that work?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly enough sun to generate quite a bit of electricity. You know, a lot of our customers have a full offset, so, you know, we're able to put enough solar panels up there that cancels out their entire amount of electricity in a year. The incentives that exist, the financial incentives, are really, you know, second to none in the country here. So you have your standard federal incentive of 30% of the system cost. At the state level, you can get up to, you know, call it 30% back in both cash rebates and personal income tax credit. And then New York City has a special property tax abatement where 20% of the system cost is taken off of your property tax over a 4-year period. So the average, you know, system can get up to 75% incentive. So you're really only paying 25% of what it actually costs. And, you know, I tell people all the time to think of it in this way. You're really like prepaying for electricity for a 25-year period. That's really what you're getting out of this whole thing. And if you think about it that way, you know, Con Ed is never giving you a 75% incentive on the power that you buy from them. So it's a great time to do it. You know, the costs are dropping, so it's becoming even more affordable. And then even in Brooklyn and some other parts of New York City, there's a historic tax credit, which gets you an extra 20%. So you could wind up with a solar system that gets incentivized, you know, 90 to 95% of what it really costs. So the incentives are absolutely unbelievable. It's, you know, it's just really not heard of in many other parts of the country, but you know, it's because people support it. You know, there's vast support for solar energy here, and it's also a place where we really need it. You know, the grid here in New York City is old. It needs extra capacity, and for every solar system that we put in, it reduces the need to install a giant substation in Con Ed territory. So there's some good incentives there, both economically from the utility side and then also from the homeowner side. And not to mention, you know, it's rich hunting ground from a, you know, psychographic perspective. A lot of people are just very, very in line with wanting to help save the planet and doing their part. And they also have the money to help, you know, float some of these credits as they come back.
Do you feel like you're part of that larger conversation about the environment? I mean, that's a very challenged issue right now, of course, as we know, in 2017.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I guess the way I view it is the best way to engage on that is to do it at a local level, because that's really the thing that we're going to be able to get the best amplification on. You know, each time someone decides to put solar on their house, that's one more home that's going to be powering their house with solar energy instead of some natural gas power plant somewhere else. And so, you know, that's really gratifying for all of us at our company. You know, we know that each time you flip that switch and somebody's basically going off the grid, you know, that there's just one more step that you're taking. So I don't know, there's this danger of like trying to start thinking just, you know, internationally or nationally about like, how are we going to solve this problem? You know, and in my view is the reality is you got to do it where you are. And if you're not doing it where you are, you know, why should somebody else somewhere else, you know, try and be more environmentally minded? Like, you got to do it in your own house. You got to do it with the actions you take every day. And, you know, if you can afford solar or need financing for solar, you know, we're like just extremely enthusiastic about helping people do that.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you mentioned before that you had you detoured, I guess, a little bit through the IT field.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been able to bring any of that experience or sort of thinking into this business as part of the is there a software component to what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had the luxury of peering into a large solar company and see how they ran their IT systems. I had done IT consulting before, like when I was at Gartner and a few other places. So there was, from the get-go, we knew we were going to lean very heavily on software. We customized a CRM system. We generate all of our permitting documents, all of our forms, a ton of heavy lifting on the administrative side. And we've been able to not totally automate it, but you know, use the software we've developed to basically help take a pretty large burden off of the administrative component.
Did you develop that software in-house? Is that something that you do?
We customized it. So we didn't build it from the ground up. We just basically were able to tweak it and turn it into something that we knew we could really use it. So we generate all of our proposals. We run all of our projects out of it. You know, we help monitor people's solar systems once it's built. We can determine how well we're tracking to the numbers we gave them and what we told them it was going to produce. It's just critical, you know. Just having been in IT and knowing that, like, there's just this gigantic sprawl of information. You really got to keep it centralized. You got to be able to use it as best as possible. And I mean, I think about, like, when we started my previous startup. Yeah, none of that was available, like Google Drive and all that stuff. Like, I remember thinking, yeah, I'm going to have to go buy a terabyte drive so we have all of our information somewhere. And I'm like, and now it's just basically spin up a new Google Drive and I've got a terabyte in the cloud. We can put it anywhere. So those tools, the evolution of those tools just since I've been in the solar business has made, you know, us so much more nimble, and we can, you know, communicate so much more easily than the, you know, even a few years ago. It's been really helpful.
What about some of the hot new buzzword stuff? Like, do you guys leverage mobile? Do you use virtual reality at all?
Yeah, we leverage mobile for strategic advantage. Now we do use our iPads quite a bit. Apple Maps has a sweet, like, 3D rendered map view, particularly of New York City. And so, like, we can pull up people's addresses, show them their roof, talk about the obstructions that may exist. So we use that very often. We render a system for each customer. So once we go in, we take detailed measurements of the roof. We mock up an actual solar system for them. We show it to them on their roof. And then we experiment right now. We've got an app that allows us to put it into Google Cardboard. And so people can...
And that's a virtual reality tool, right?
Yeah, it's basically Google's sort of, you know...
Low-end VR, low-end based on your phone, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it's pretty transferable, and it's web-enabled. So I can send somebody a link, and they just have to click the Google Cardboard icon, and it immediately turns into VR. So, and you just throw it in a simple, you know, $5 Google Cardboard VR set, and they can literally step onto their roof and see what a solar canopy is going to look like on their roof, which, you know, that's kind of the future.
Excellent. Speaking of the future, what's next for you guys?
You know, I think we're certainly focusing on our core business of installation. You know, that has a very, very long runway here. We think that there's about 350,000 flat roofs that could be addressed here in New York City, just between Brooklyn and Queens alone. So keep the installation business humming along. We're growing out our solar canopy business in that we're selling it to other installers. So that's more of a B2B type approach. But you know, we know a lot of the installers, they're all asking us if we'll sell it to them. And so we're starting off sort of our pilot program there, where we're selling it to those folks.
Is the product applicable outside of New York City? Is it good for other dense urban environments?
Oh yeah,
Europe.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's built to be on flat roofs. But there's also a segment where you could use it for a carport. You know, you can park your car underneath it. You could put it out in your backyard. So we have inquiries from all over the country for both of those applications, plus some people just want to put it on flat roofs. So, you know, we've heard from everyone from LA to Chicago to DC to Boston, Philly. You know, everyone that sees it and installs solar immediately recognizes, like, oh, that's, I need that, because I've told a customer I couldn't help them because nothing like that existed. So that's been really cool. We built this for New York City, and obviously we think there's a long opportunity there for us, but there's a bunch of other places that we could be selling this as well. And yeah, we're slowly starting to talk in those markets with people that we think will be able to kind of purvey this properly.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, you got it.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
You've been listening to From Day One, how Brooklyn entrepreneurs got their start. This series is made possible by a grant from the Made in New York Media Center in conjunction with The Bridge, a new site dedicated to reporting on business in Brooklyn. For more from The Bridge, to learn more about today's guest, or to listen to more episodes of From Day One, visit us at thebridgebk.com. That's thebridgebk.com. From Day One is produced by Kim Thornton, Steve Kep, and myself, Mick Bailey. Audio editing and post-production by Al Sigman. The From Day One logo was created by Joe Meyer, and our theme music was performed by Jody Rockwell and the Amble Amps. Thanks for listening.